Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemiz Vachem Daf Lamed Ches. We begin on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, five lines off the top of the Amud. V'tano Maisi Lomi Hocha. Back to the Halacha in the Mishnah. That a Korban Chatas, Chitzayna, meaning the external Korban Chatas, whose blood is placed on the external Mizbeach in the Azara, one is required to apply four applications of that dam on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaChitzen. However, the Mishnah tells us, if you only applied one, it's okay. The carbon is kosher, is mechaper. And this, of course, is Shitas Beis Hillel, because Beis Shammai require at least two at a minimum. But according to Beis Hillel, in terms of absolute requirement, one is enough. Now, we had one source yesterday. Here comes another source for this halacha, that only one application is absolutely critical and required. V'tana, so the following Tana, Maisi Lo Mihocha, derives this halacha, that one application at a minimum works, from the following source. Because if we look at the discussion in the Torah regarding various korban chatas, we have the chatas of the nasi, a chatas of an individual. We have the word v'chiper mentioned three times, which seems to be a repetition. It atones, right? V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. What's the point? Ipnei Adin. It's coming to tell us that although you're meant to apply four matanis, but b'di'evad one is enough. So the starting point is four. Comes the pasuk and says, you know what? Even if you missed one, v'chiper, you're okay. Even if you miss another one, v'chiper. Even if you miss another one, v'chiper, as long as you have one up there. V'pnei Adin, because otherwise I would suggest that all four are critical. Says the Gemara, Sheyachal v'alaydinu, but in reality, why would I need a new source? I can just figure it out on my own. That in fact, three of the four are not really critical. Why? Nemru damim lamata. Some bloods are placed on the lower part of the mizbeach, such as the gdam of an oila of a shlamim. V'nemru damim lamala. We have damim, which goes on top, as per the chatas. Let's compare the two processes. Ma matan damim hamurim lamata. Just like the blood that goes downstairs, the oila, the shlamim, etc. Over there, we all agree one application at a minimum is enough, as we learned yesterday from the pasuk, v'dam zevachecha yishafech. So ma matan damim hamurim lamata, just like over there, shenosnan matana achas, keeper, even one application works. Av damim hamurim lamata, let's assume the same with the blood on top, i.e. the korban chatas, which goes up on the corners, there too, only one application is absolutely critical. But only one. Shenosnan, matana achas, keeper. Even one matana works. So why a new source, if you can learn it from this, you know, correlation? Well, it's not so simple. Eklach al-derachsu, or perhaps take a different route. And compare the chatas hachitzayna to the chatas ha-pnimis, the chatas, the internal chatas, which goes on to the internal mizbech and the hechel, where all four applications are absolutely critical. As we're going to see later, in the perek. Ne'emru damim b'afnim, v'ne'emru damim b'chutz. We have blood inside, we have blood outside. Ma damim amurim b'afnim, just like the internal chatas. Chiser achas min amatonis. If he's missing even one application, worthless. Le'osav le'klum, likewise, the external one. Af damim amurim b'chutz, likewise, the blood which goes outside, the external chatas. Perhaps all four applications to the four corners of the mizbeach are absolutely vital. Chis or achas, if he's missing even one minamatonas of those applications, loy osav leklum. So it's not so simple. That's why we need a new source of the triple of the chiper, as discussed. Well, ask the Gemara. You're sort of, in a toss-up right now. Because in the middle you have the chatas chitzayna, which we're trying to, figure out how many of its applications are required, are vital. On one side of the equation you have the karbanos outside, the oila, the shlamim, on the bottom of the mizbeach, where only one application is vital. On the other side of the equation, you have the chatas ha-pnimis, the internal chatas, where all four applications are critical. So the chatas chitzenu, which is sort of in the middle, which way should we go? Who's he more comparable to? Who does he match with? Nero l'midayma? Okay, let's see who he's more similar to, and compare him that way. Don and chutz mechutz makes sense to learn an external carbon from the other external carbon, such as the oil of Ishlam, where only one matana is me'akev, as opposed to going to the internal area. Vein don chutz mepnim, as opposed to taking a chatas chitzoin and learning it from the chatas pnim, is a different realm, a different context. Well, like dach derech zu, who says to go that way? Ikelach derech zu, perhaps go the other way. It's more probable to compare a chatas to a chatas than a chatas to a different type of carbon. Don in chatas v'arba kronis. Doesn't make sense. Isn't it more probable to take a chatas? Chatas v'arba kronis, a carbon which is called a chatas, which has the psukim discussing the four corners, and compare it to a chatas of the same type, a chatas v'arba kronis. For instance, the internal chatas, which is called a chatas, and also has the four corners attributed to it. As opposed to an oil of a shlamim, where neither chatas nor contain the four corner requirement. Because over there, the blood is placed on the wall of the mizbeach. Different type of process. Bal yechiach chutz, as opposed to a different external carbon, you can't prove from there. She'en chatas, number one, it's not a chatas, and nor is it ve'arba kronos. So we're pretty much leading in the internal direction. Take the chatas chitzena and derive it and compare it. Learn it out from the chatas apnimis. We're all four matanis ha-ma'akev. That's why we need that triple v'chibar to discount. One to discount another one, discount the third one as well. And only one is critical. Tamalema, that's why the pasuk comes and says v'chibar, v'chibar, v'chibar. To teach us, look, the mitzvah is to put four. But if you missed one v'chibar, afa bishin losin al shalosh, even three works. Next v'chibar is, even if you miss two, afa bishin losin al shtayim. The next v'chibar is, afa bishin losin al achas. Says the Gemara, v'amibayla l'gufay, you're assuming these are extra words. No, they're needed for their own sake, to tell you that once the Kayim does this process, there's kapar, there's atonement. There's nothing extra here. Amar Rava bar Ado, says Rava bar Ado, it was a chacham by the name of Mori Asberli. He explained to me very well what the Gemara meant. Amar Kro v'chipa v'nislach. In all three places it says v'chipa and v'nislach, which sounds like a redundancy. He atones. Zoi kapara, zoi slicha. Isn't it one and the same thing? Kapara and slicha are synonymous. Apparently it's extra, so we have three extra v'chipers to go down from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. Ask the Gemara. Perhaps you have to put all four somewhere on the Mizbeach. And the Pasuk is simply telling us, look, even though you meant to place it on top, on the corners, but if you missed the location, you're still okay, but provided you applied four matanis somewhere on the Mizbeach. Maybe that's all the Pasuk means. Not to skip all three at all. Ema, perhaps you can learn like this. V'chiper means, afa bishon nosen elo sholosh l'malavach l'mata. Although you meant to apply four on top, v'chiper is coming to sort of allow leeway in terms of location only, even if he ended up putting only three on top and the fourth one, lower down. It also works, as long as it was applied. The next v'chiper is coming to tell you, even two down. Afa bishon nosen elo shtayim l'mata, v'shtayim l'malo. The third v'chiper is telling you, look, even if they're all on bottom, afa bishon nosen l'malo l'mata. But who's to say that if you skip any one of these applications, you still have a kapara? Who says? Amar Rav Ada bar Yitzchak, im kein betalta teres arba kronis, because according to your suggestion, you're negating, you're canceling the whole concept of corners. They're not required. Says the Gemara, okay, v'irachmana Amar, but if the Torah tells you that you can get by without, levatlam. Okay, let it be canceled. He's supposed to, but if you don't, the Torah says it's okay, L'chatchila, you meant to, but by the evidence it works. I mean, what's the big deal? Amar Rava. I'll explain to you why. That can't be the point of the pasuk. Because if the point is to allow all four on bottom, then you would have four times v'chiper. Right? It meant to be four on top. Even if it's three on top, one on bottom, first v'chiper. Next v'chiper is even if it's two on two. Next Vechiber, even if it's one on top, three on bottom. And the next Vechibers, even though they're all four on bottom, you would have four Vechibers. Eze Odovash Atzorech. Sholosh have Oime Elokronis. So why did the Pasuk only have three Vechibers? Apparently to tell you. At those four corners. And their applications are not really required, not really critical. If you miss three or four, you're okay. Again, if the point is just to allow relocation, until you even put all four on bottom, it should say four times v'chiper, to allow all four to be relocated. Why does it say three v'chipers? To tell you. Even if you miss it entirely. One, two, three, as long as you have one, you're okay. Well, says the Gemara, what do you mean? Perhaps the Torah is talking about relocating only. And the reason why it's only three, Ema, we can say like this. V'chiper means, afa pishe l'nosen ela achas l'mala v'shalosh l'mata. Maybe the reason why it doesn't say four v'chipers is because you can't relocate them all. That's exactly what the Pasuk is trying to tell us. You need at least one on top and the three on bottom. Perhaps that's what the Pasuk means. But again, don't skip any. Well, we don't find any precedent for this type of split application, some on top, some on bottom. So it's improbable that that's what the Torah meant. We don't find in any other carbon that its blood should be split, pan on top, pan on bottom, chetzin lamata. Really? Note. We have a Mishnah in Meseches Yuma. He took the blood of the carbon and he spritzed it on the Arayin, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one up and seven down. He is a memento aras lamata v'shalosh lamata. Apparently you can split. Answer is more kematzlif. They all landed in the same place. When we say one up, it's just in terms of his hand motion. He motioned up or motioned down, but in terms of destination, it was all the same thing. My kematzlif, what does that mean? Mach Rav Yehuda Kaman God no. Like the fellow on the bezin who's striking the person being punished with the whip. So that's all the Mishnah means. In terms of the way he's whipping his hand, the way he's motioning his finger as he's letting go of the blood, so some are sort of facing upward, some are down, but in terms of location, it's all meant to reach the same place. Ask the Gemara, we have another place in actually on Yom Kippur. He's al tahara shel mizbeach shava pa'amim. Right, the Mishnah says, after he applied the blood to the internal mizbeach, some of the blood was applied seven times al tahara shel mizbeach. What does tahara mean? The Gemara is assuming it means the midpoint. My love, we assume tahara means al palgid mizbeach, at the half point. Tahara means like noontime, 12 o'clock. Because on Rinchas, people say tahara tiara. Vavi palgi di yoima. Look, noon time has arrived. More of the day. And Rashi explains. If so, if you're aiming at the midpoint of the Mizbech, inevitably, it's going to happen that some will land above the midpoint, some below. See, there you go. You have a portion of blood which is split between two locations, upper and lower. Amarava bar shiloh, it's incorrect. Agiluye. The harish of Mizbech doesn't mean the midpoint on the wall. It means the exposed, top of the mizbeach, they would clean away the ashes, and that's where he would apply the blood. Tichsib, okay, etzem Hashem ayim b'tor, like the purity of the sky. Ask the more because shirayim. What do you mean? But every carbon has shirayim. Leftovers, which are spilled at the bottom of the mizbeach. See, there you go. The main application goes on top, and the shirayim on bottom. So you see, you split between top and bottom. Oh, shirayim le me'akvi, leftovers are not really critical to the process. Rashi says, not ma'akav the kapara. And we're looking for a phenomenon where you have critical applications, some on top and some on bottom. You don't find that anywhere. Ask the Gemara, v'yikashrayim apnimim. What about the leftovers of the internal karbonis? Yikad limando amar ma'akvi. In fact, regarding those karbonis, some opinions consider it critical. So there's a phenomenon, there's a precedent for half and half. Some blood is placed on the upper section of the Mizbeach, and the rest is placed on the external Mizbeach on the bottom. Half and half. V'chad mokim kamrinan. Well, it's in a different location. Those karbonis chates, right? Their blood is placed on the in the Heichel Mizbeach, and leftovers taken outside, the external was mezbeach on the bottom. It's in this different location. We're looking for a precedent where, within the same location, a carbon which requires part of its blood to be placed upstairs in this mezbeach and downstairs in this mezbeach. We don't find that. So that sort of nixes us this idea. We're left with the original approach that b'chibur is coming to discount the actual application. Although you meant to have four to begin with, but if you skip all the way down till you get to one, you're still okay. And that's Basil's source. That one application, and only one, is absolutely required by the Chatas Hachitzah. But according to Beis Shammai, you need at least two. Tanya, so we have a Braisa, that basically if you need two to make Kapara, then in terms of making Pigel as well, right, the Pigel, the incorrect thought of, you know, Chutlas Manai, must accompany those two applications. Because again, Pigel must relate to the elements of Kapara, which we call a Matir, right, the avoid of the Dam, which enables the carbon for consumption, etc. So basically, it works hand in hand. Just like according to Beis Shammai, two applications are critical. Likewise, if he chooses to make it Pigel, that Pigel, you know, thought or expression has to accompany those two Matanis. Anything less won't do. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, that one application suffices for the success of the carbon. So in terms of Pigel as well, on the flip side, if he chooses to think Pigel, say Pigel, as long as it accompanies one Matana, the first one, there you go, there is Pigel. You don't need it to accompany the subsequent applications, which aren't really critical to the process. So it sort of works hand in hand. Tanya Blessed Ben Yaakov Omer, Yeshami Omer, Shtei Matana Shebechatos, regarding Echatos, which requires at least two applications according to their opinion, Va'achash Kol HaZvachim, regarding other Karbanos, one is enough. Matirus Mefaglis. So those, you know, critical, required applications. On the one hand, amate the carbon. Until they happen, you can't process the carbon, you can't bring the emur and amnibus beyach, you can't eat the basar. And on the flip side, umafagles. The pigal factor has to accompany those which are deemed critical to the process. Vesil aimrim, achas shebachatas, v'achas shebachalas materus mefagelis. One application only by the chatas or any other carbon is enough to be matir. And on the negative side, it's enough to be mefagel. Only that is deemed critical, which activates the pigel. So ironically, it turns out that on the matir side, what's required for the success of the carbon, according to Beis Shammai, there's a strictness, there's a chumrah. You need at least two barachatas. Beis Hillel suffice with one. But in terms of the pigel part of things, it flips around. In a way, Beis Shammai are lenient, because until you apply the pigel to both applications, you don't have pigel. According to Beis Hillel, as long as one matana was on a pigel, you have pigel. So it's sort of a flip side of the same equation. But in a way, there's a leniency, which is not really typical to have Beis Shammai provide a leniency versus Beis Hillel, right? Typically, Beis Shammai are the more strict opinion. Maskevler v'ishya, imkain, if that were so, if that's true, why isn't this discussion mentioned along the very limited list of unusual cases in Maseches Idiyos where Beis Shammai is found to be more lenient than Beis Hillel? Right, in terms of generating pigel. According to Beis Shammai, there's no pigel until, you know, he does a more extensive pigel. So in a way, they're being more lenient. Humbly, Rav's Rav responded, it's true. Both sides are true. But the truth is that this question was posed in Beis Medrash regarding heter, meaning somebody got up and says, well, let's say the kain only applied one matana of the chatas, and then the blood spilled out. Is the carbon kosher? Can you eat the meat? And to that, the answer was that Beis Hillel are going to be meikil, are going to be lenient. Only one matana is enough to get you going. But Beis Shammai, the havelu Beis Shammai lechumra, in this context, Beis Shammai be machmer. No, you don't have a successful carbon until you did two. So in terms of this aspect of the question, Beis Shammai the machmer, Beis Hillel the mekel. But truthfully, in terms of the pigel part, if it should develop into a pigel, so in a way Beis Shammai are actually lenient, and Beis Hillel machmer. As long as he had pigel, even during the first matana, that makes it pigel, because that's sufficient for the success of the karma. Okay, further on this topic. So now, according to Beis Hillel, by Echatos, the first application is absolutely, you know, necessary, but the final three applications are important, but not really critical. So what's status? do those applications have? Are they considered, you know, avoida? Do you need a kayin? Big day kahuna? What happens? Amar Rav Yechna Sholesh Matana Shebachatois. The final three applications of echatos. Einon boys belayla. Don't think you can do it at night? No. It's part of the akrava process. If you do it, it becomes part of the akrava. So the blood becomes pasul. Once nightfall arrives, you can't do it at night. Uboyez lachar misa. On the other hand, let's say the owner had died after the first application. That's it. He received his atonement. And now, even if the kohen wants to proceed with the final three, he can continue. It's not like a chatos whose owner died, which is, you know, doomed. No. In a certain sense, the process had been completed during his lifetime, the first matana, which is critical. So now the kohen is allowed to resume and finish the last three. Va'mala, men b'chutz chaya. Finally, if he takes the blood destined for the final three applications, and he brings it outside the Beis HaMikdash and puts it on Mizbech, he's chayev, because it's carbon material, which can't be done outside. Amar Papa. Furthermore, says Rav Papa, let me add more to the list. So in certain respects, the final three applications are deemed like the first one. They're part of the, you know, part and parcel of the Hakrava process. On the other hand, there are some leniencies as well, because it's not really critical to the process. So let's see which one applies to what. Yesh men ketchilasam, yesh men kesoifer. In some respects, the final three are like the first one, which is considered akrova. In other respects, it's like seifa, like the you know, shirayim, like the remnants of the blood, which aren't really considered part and parcel of the akrava. Here goes the list. Regarding chutz, offering it outside the Beis HaMikdash, no, it's considered a liability. But Laila, in terms of doing it at night, as we said, you can't do it at night. The Zaras, in terms of a non-kayin doing it, no, you need a kayin. Because after all, it is part of the avoida now. Klisharis, you need to use a holy vessel, keren. You have to apply it to the corner of the mizbech. No leeway there. Ve'etzpah, you have to use your finger. Kibus. Suppose some of that blood meant for the final three applications spritches on the kohen's garment. He has to undergo a special laundering process called kibus in the Beis HaMikdash, which is done to, you know, to clean up a stain of chatas blood. So it's still considered chatas blood, because it's still meant for applications. It's not just leftovers. Vishirayim. And likewise, it generates shirayim. So let's say, for instance, Rashi says, let's say he's makabal, the blood of the chatas, into four separate containers. Okay, intending on applying one application per container. So he applies from the first container on the corner, leftover in that container, shirayim, which has its own requirement. You have to pour it on the bottom of the mizbech, as per discussed. Likewise, when he continues to the second container and does one application from there, that leftover becomes shirayim as well, so on and so forth, on the third and the fourth. You don't say, well, these are really just secondary application. They can't generate shirayim. They do generate shirayim. Kitchilosin, so regarding all these halachis, the final three applications of the chatas are treated like the first application with all its halachis. On the other hand, misa, we discussed earlier, let's say the owner died after the first application, so basically the carbon was already processed. So the final three applications can be done even without his presence. Loi sharia. Likewise, the final three are not really permitting the carbon for consumption. Meaning, let's say something went wrong with the first one, you can't fix it up with the last ones. Velim faglo, like we said before, the last three are not really critical components of the akrova, and therefore, if a pigal thought accompanies them, it has no effect. Loi ayil gavoi, there's a halacha that blood of echatas, which is transported into the heichal, it becomes pasul. That only applies to blood which is awaiting, you know, the critical application. But once the critical application, the first one had been done, so this blood which is now waiting the last three is not deemed, you know, true bona fide, dam of chatas. In which case, if it's taken inside, it's not going to have this psul. The point is that only blood which is awaiting, you know, critical kapara, to generate kapara, that has the halacha. But in this case, kapara had been accomplished. Omer Rapapa Mena Aminila, says Rapapa, I want to prove one point that I mentioned. That blood which is awaiting the final three applications, which spritzes on a beged, that garment has to be washed with the applying the, you know, the process, the halachic process of kippos. How do I know that's true? I mean, you can argue and say, well, once the first application was done, so you know, the crux of the kapara, the crux of the avodah had been accomplished. So this blood here doesn't really trigger the kibbutz process. I'll prove to you that it does. This now we have a Mishnah. Nitas minat savar labeget. Let's say blood sprayed straight from the neck before it was contained in a container, straight from the neck onto the garment. Any time kibbutz, no need to do kibbutz. Because kibbutz is specific to blood that had been contained in a container, klisharis, awaiting application on the mizbeach. On the other hand, suppose the process had been done already, been completed. It's already sitting on the corner of the mizbeach. It's sitting on the yisoid of the mizbeach. Minakaren. He had applied the blood to the corner. Now, from the corner, it sprayed on his garment. Umen ha-yisoid. Or he took the leftovers of the blood after all the applications and poured it to the yisoid. And then it sprayed from the yisoid onto the garment. Too late. That blood is sort of, it's inactive. It's been deactivated. It's been, you know. Ain't a ton kibbutz. There's no kibbutz in that case. Let's make a diuk. Let's imply from the mission. Only blood which had already arrived at the keren has no kibbutz. Homin haroi lekeren. But blood which is destined for the keren, such as even blood which is only awaiting the last three applications after the first application had been done. That's still called royally yisoid. It's meant for the keren. I mean, it's meant for the keren in somewhat way. Ton kibbutz. That blood is still active blood, and would necessitate the kibbutz process if it would land on a garment. So this proves my point, says Rapapa, that the blood of a chatas, even after having applied that first critical application, but since it's awaiting the final three applications, that's still called active korban chatas blood. In which case, if it lands on a beged, kibbutz is required. Perhaps let's pick this up. We'll leave here and we'll pick it up tomorrow because it's sort of a beginning of a complicated back and forth. But in any case, let's just recap briefly what we learned today in terms of the korban chatas. According to Beis Shammai, you need at least a minimum of two applications. We're talking about the mizbeach achitzin. According to Beis Hillel, one's enough, and it's based on v'chiper, which discounts from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. We had a question, perhaps you have to apply all four. Just you can apply it downstairs if you want. Well, we don't find a split application. We learned that it manifests in terms of pigla as well. So depending on how many are critical, those are considered pigla potentials, meaning that according to Beis Shammai, you need two applications at a minimum, so pigla has to accompany those two. According to Beis Hillel, one is enough. Pigla accompanies just one to make pigla. We have Rabbi Yechon and Rav Papa give us a listing of items, of concepts which apply to the Shalosh Matanos of the Echatas and ones that don't apply, because in some way it's considered still active blood. On the other hand, the Kapar had been accomplished. Okay, all the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.